Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:57 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is October 30th. This has been another interesting day in the markets here, particularly from the point of view of where currencies have been trading. Because for the dollar index, we saw as the markets opened this morning that the dollar index was trading as low as just over 83 points and is closing out the day closer to 84.7. So rallying quite well off those lows. And looking at, I posted lots of currency charts in comment of the day today for the yen and for the dollar, because it's really a tale of two cities. You have the yen, which has been the strongest currency in the world for the last few months, and of course also has the lowest interest rates in the world, being having been extremely overextended and almost doubling, in fact, versus currencies such as the Australian dollar, and becoming really rather overextended by any measure with which you might wish to use. Well, it's now had its biggest reaction in this trend to date, and from an extremely high level across a whole range of currencies. In fact, all of the Japanese crosses that I looked at today show the yen peaking out against just about every currency. That's important because the yen carry trade had been unwound to a great extent over the last couple of months, and corresponding asset classes have been sold off aggressively, such as equities and commodities. The money that had been raised has been flowing into the yen. The dollar, of course, has also been used as a carry trade currency over the last 18 months or so, because the outlook for the for interest rates has been going down, and until relatively recently, it paid to be a bear of the dollar. Of course, that feels like a very long time ago at this point. And of course, a lot of that money had also flown into treasuries. Well, what we first started to see was that treasuries topped out relatively recently. They fell aggressively, found support about 2 weeks ago, rallied again, encountered resistance below the previous high, and are coming off once more. We have the 10-year treasury down 22 points today. It's down to 113. Yes, this is a very big formation and it's very much levels within levels, but we are certainly not seeing government bond prices surging on the upside or yields falling to extraordinary levels. And indeed, the yield on the 10-year bond has found support at progressively higher levels following the low it found back in January, and that low was above the 2003 lows as well. This is going to be a gradual bottoming out process for yields, and the topping out process is going to be equally gradually for bond prices. But certainly, if bond prices are starting to come down, that is another indication that appetite for risk is rising once more, and it is starting to flow into assets that can be deemed to be holding value at present levels, which are stock markets and indeed a lot of the corporate bond market as well. But getting back to the currency moves, because with the yen coming off so very strongly against a lot of these currencies, yes, it has rallied a lot and it came off a lot this week. That leaves the door open for it to rally somewhat in the very short term, but it would really need to push right back above those highs that we saw late last week to offset scope for the yen to have hit its medium-term peak this week, or late last week, and we could easily see the yen getting weaker from here on out. That would be an indication that a lot of liquidation in for carry trades has already occurred in the yen, and that would also be supportive of Japanese equities. The Nikkei was up almost 10% today. Hang Seng was up 12%. So good positive action in that area, and you also had extremely good moves in a number of other Asian markets, with Singapore also being a standout, and I think Taiwan is also remarkably oversold, and it looks like a value share down here at these levels. But what we've also seen is that the dollar has looks to have peaked against a whole host of lesser currencies. But it has to date only come back in a relatively similar sized reaction relative to currencies such as the euro, the pound, and the Swiss franc. One of the potential reasons behind that is because there is the perception that trouble is lying ahead for these economies, that they're going to move into recession, that their banking sectors are at the beginning of some of their problems rather than being handled effectively by their governments. And of course, there is also those worrying statistics that the total liabilities of the banking sector, for example, in Switzerland, are something like 600% of GDP, which is problematic for any type of rescue package that the Swiss may be putting together. Of course, it is all about faith in markets at the moment, and investors have certainly had their faith rocked by the credit crisis, and certainly sentiment remains at a low ebb, and we're not going to see markets pushing up to make new high ground anytime soon. The best prognosis that we have is that equity markets are at the beginning of what could be a good medium-term rally that would take us into the end of the year, potentially into the beginning of next year. But then there's going to have to be, or there's quite likely to be, I should say, there are no have to be's. There's quite likely going to be a lot of support building between now and the beginnings of the next new bull market. And let no one tell you otherwise, there will be another bull market. It is only a matter of time, and the amount of time is the open question, which none of us really knows the answer to, although we all have an opinion. The fact that the dollar has come back against a lot of emerging economies, or a lot of emerging currencies, is also indicative of there being a move back towards some of these risky assets. There are a number of exceptions. The Indian rupee is one of them. And you also have the Philippine peso and the Thai baht and the Russian ruble. There are concerns about deficits in India, and there are concerns about politics in Russia and in Thailand. But you don't have those political or governance issues in India. You certainly have the deficits problem, and you have the fact that the government have been interfering in markets over the last year and stopping institutional investors getting into the country in the way that they had preferred. So that is certainly helping to hinder the rupee from appreciating further. So it remains a headwind for Indian stock markets. I think that the appreciating yen and dollar have been headwinds for just about all markets, and as they turn around relative to a number of other currencies, that headwind is going to turn into a tailwind. The longer that we see other currencies strengthening against the yen and the dollar, the greater the impetus will be for investors to start investing in those currencies. One of the great benefits of investing in Asia, particularly over the last 3 or 4 years, has been the fact that you had the double kicker of stock market performance and currency performance relative to the dollar and indeed the yen, and of course a number of other currencies as well. You don't have that anymore, and it will take time for investors to start to look at these markets with a favorable light once more, and those currency pairings are well worth keeping an eye on, and you can find lots and lots of them in the chart library. The commodity complex didn't have a particularly good day today, and that is because I think you had dollar strength feeding through, and also there is the reluctance to become overly invested in the commodity complex, I think people are remain extremely nervous. So you had gold down somewhat in here today. It rallied back above 750 on an intraday basis, but closed back around the 740 level. And you had silver giving up some of the gain that it had earlier on today. Actually, I'm just going to pull up that silver chart. It's closing out the day around 976, and the intraday high was well above $10. It had a very good day yesterday, and it has broken that short-term progression of lower highs. It's found support above $8 and is looking relatively oversold in here, but it's well off its highs in here today. I think silver is cheap down here, but that's not to say it can't get cheaper, and it remains an extremely volatile prospect in here. I think a lot of traders out there are looking at these markets and saying that the only way to make money is to take your profits early. And there is a market saw that it's never wrong to take a profit, which a lot of people will be applying to these particular market conditions. So volatility, particularly in the commodity complex, is set to continue. For example, we had some very good gains yesterday, which a lot of them were countermanded in here today. We also had copper down 20 cents. We had nickel down over $1,000. So it certainly remains extremely volatile, and a lot of these commodity markets don't seem capable of anything more than a technical rally at present. We do need to spend some time consolidating the gains that were put through, or sorry, consolidating around these low levels that we've got in here at the moment. Looking, I'm just pulling up the chart of Rio Tinto, because you continue to have a very negative impact or sentiment to the commodity complex generally, but a number of these miners have also been hit extremely hard, and they've fallen well in excess of 50%. Rio appears to have found support around £20. It's rallied back up towards £30 over the last 4 days, which of course is a 50% improvement, which is a really rather large move. But the fact that it is consolidating around these areas is quite positive. It would really need to push back below $20 to offset scope for this to range with a higher to lateral bias. And that is probably the prognosis for the vast majority of the stock market. There have been clear winners and losers from this credit crisis. Some of the banks, in particular the ones that survive and the ones that have cash in hand and relatively steady balance sheets, are likely to be the leaders in the sector going forward. And cash is king for so many of these institutions right now. We can anticipate that there is going to be a fresh round of M&A activity once the credit markets begin to unfreeze, because those companies with better balance sheets and with an ability to move in this market will have much easier access to credit when the worst of this panic passes than the more leveraged companies that were depending more on the availability of cheap credit than their business model to generate profits prior to the credit crisis, if they even still exist today. A number of these big miners are in the former category. They have lots of cash in hand, they're very well-run businesses, and there will be world-class assets up for sale in the coming year or two, given the fact that commodity prices have fallen. That will help to contract demand, and as growth picks up once this global recession eases, probably sometime next year, we can expect a new period of global economic expansion. We're getting back to, well, what I think David has referred to as back to the future, where commodity price inflation is no longer going to be a problem, where a lot of the excess in this system is going to be squeezed out, or has already been squeezed out, and the beginning of a new bull market will have many of the advantages that were available back in 2003. So this is a good time to start thinking about which assets one wants to have for the next bull market. We certainly see that big investors are starting to bottom fish in this region. I'm not advocating anyone to start buying immediately, and anyone that does would be, I think, be well advised to do it only on a cost averaging basis and incrementally and well within one's capital, holding back cash for any unevent or unforeseen circumstance that may arise. But what we also know are that institutional fund managers will be looking at this scenario and saying that they can afford to start picking up what they want to hold for the next bull cycle, however long the base development is going to take. This is a time that longer term investors who can sit on their positions for years rather than months will be looking at these markets and seeing opportunities. And with that in mind, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.